Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheetsby. You are listening to the series, Holiness, the Expression of the Father's Nature. And now with the Word, here's Brother John.
I want to continue in the theme of what I started this morning. And just to give you a little background, those of you who weren't here this morning, I'm preaching on holiness. Now, it might help some of you to understand where I come from and my background. My father was raised in the Methodist Church, and the Methodist doctrine developed out of John Wesley's own experience of a second work of grace. And so that second work of grace, John Wesley called perfect love. But it was generally viewed as an experience of entire sanctification. And so what happened was your spiritual experience was in two stages. You got saved, but then you went through a period where, and Romans 7 was taken as the illustration of that, where you found yourself really wrestling with the old nature within you. And you found yourself with your new nature desiring to please God, desiring to do those things that were right before God, but you had an old nature that was continually at warfare within you. And so your only hope was to come to a place of desperation where you cried out to God, like Romans 7 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin?" And then you came into an experience of what was called, in different places, entire sanctification, perfect love, and so on. And some people called it the second blessing. Keswick in England, that was a characteristic of the Keswick ministry, was a second blessing experience. And so I was raised in that background. I was raised with this constant pressing toward an experience of entire sanctification where hopefully I'd get to the place where I'd never have to battle with this old nature and all the inner desires and all of this stuff. And so guess what? I got utterly frustrated, because that's really not what the Word of God teaches. And as a result of that, many people just pressed on and tried to get there. Now what happened is this: if you've had the experience of entire sanctification and sin does come in your life, you've got to redefine it. And so you call it a weakness, but sin is sin, whatever name you call it by. And so I went through the whole experience of seeing people perform verbal gymnastics, jumping over words, and what we call in English semantics, you know, redefining words and so on. And so I set my heart to pursue a biblical truth about holiness, because we are called to be holy. There's no question about that. As we read this morning in 1 Peter, "He who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Okay? Since we're born again of God's seed, and His seed abides in me, then it is my natural disposition to do what my Father would do, to be like my Father. And He is holy, and so I, by a natural disposition as a new creation in Jesus Christ, have a disposition for holiness. Now, the tragedy is that many people in the Christian church have believed a lie, and that is this: that, well, bless God, you'll never be holy on this side of glory. You're just going to always have this internal warfare and struggle between the old nature and the new nature, and it depends on, you know, it's like the dog. Illustration that I heard, you know, it depends which dog you feed, which becomes stronger in you. If you feed the flesh, then the flesh reigns. And if you feed the spirit, then the spirit reigns, and so on. And so you're always going through this whole thing. And then God gave me an understanding of the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. I am altogether new. Now, what God then began to show me and began to open up what true holiness is, and I began to see that we had interpreted and understood holiness in a narrow definition of things that you did and things that you didn't do. And God began to show me that holiness is so much bigger than external behavior. Holiness is a matter of what I am on the inside. And since I'm born again of the Spirit of God, something dramatic has taken place within me. I have been given a nature that is just like my daddy. And so I began to ask, what is my father like? Because if my father is holy and I'm called to be holy, then I'm going to be like my father. And so I studied the Word of God to find what is God in the essence of His being. And I came across three statements in the Bible of what God is in the essence of His being. Number one, God is Spirit. And therefore, if I am holy, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be living more in the realm of the Spirit than in the realm of the mind and in the realm of the body. My spirit is going to be in control. Do you understand that? And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly. And he says, I pray God that your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Now, when you're in the world, when you're in lust, in the darkness of sin, your body is first, and your soul is second, and your spirit is way down there. And what happens to many of us when we are born again of the Spirit of God, we are spiritually recreated, our spirits become connected to God, and now a process begins whereby God is changing me in the area of my soul, man, and is renewing me even in the area of my body, according to Romans chapter 8. There is a process going on of transformation within, because God is bringing me into a likeness to Himself. And He starts in my spirit, man. And that's where I started this morning. If God is Spirit, Paul says, do you want to avoid sin? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Very simple. Walk in the Spirit. Well, Brother John, you know, how do I do that? And this morning I spoke about building yourself up in your spirit man. And just gave two very simple ways of building up the spirit man. Worship, praying in the Holy Ghost. There are many others, you know, but those are the two that the Lord has just so impressed upon me are so important for His people to develop. And then, you know, one of the things that I've learned is to just obey those nudgings and promptings of the Spirit. And the more you do that, the more alive and alert and sensitive you become to the Spirit. And it becomes a wonderful life of just obeying the promptings of the Spirit. Now, we start with the Spirit. If you don't start with the Spirit and you start with truth, you're in trouble. You know why? Because if we're not led into truth by the Spirit of God, every one of us see truth from different perspectives. And that's why we've got thousands of denominations in the earth. Why? Because we didn't start with life in the Spirit. We started with trying to understand truth out of the Word of God. But if it's not revealed to us by the Spirit, it becomes a weapon to divide from one another and to kill another brother who's different from us. And so you have to start with life in the Spirit. You have to begin with walking in the Spirit of God. Because the second thing, and this is what we're going to look at tonight, God is light. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Let's just start from the first verse. This is such a wonderful passage. I absolutely delight. These verses are so powerful. I love John's writings because John writes from such a heart experience, from such a reality of encounter. John is not an observer. John is a participant in truth. And so when he starts off, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now let me just say this to you, and I don't know if I've preached this before, but John uses all perfect tenses in that verse in the Greek, which means this. The perfect tense is a tense of resultant state of being because of a past action. For example, if I was speaking in Greek to you tonight and telling you that I am married to Bev, I would not use a past tense, because if I used a past tense, I would be referring to something back then. I would use a perfect tense because in 1973, I always ask my wife this because I don't want to foul up, you know, so... In 1973, we got married, but we are married now, perfect tense, because of an event that took place on the 20th of January, 1973. Bev and I entered into a covenantal union of marriage, and that we are still in that covenant relationship. And so I describe it as in the perfect tense. So this is what John says: that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, we didn't just see at one time. It has left us in a state of seeing. Our eyes were opened and now they are still open because of what we saw. Because of what we heard, our ears are in a state of hearing. We are in a perpetual state of hearing. Now he goes on and he takes it from hearing to seeing, and then look, which we have looked upon. Oh, I love this. He said, we saw Jesus. We saw him in reality. But I want to tell you what had happened. It has left a lasting effect upon us that we are in a state of spiritual eyesight, spiritual vision. We see as a result of having seen. You see, this is what happens to the believer. When you are born again, and unfortunately in the church, and what the theology did that I was raised in, it downplayed the power of the new birth. Until you were looking for something else to add to it. But I want to take you back to the reality of what happened to you when you were born again. You were born of God's seed by the living and abiding Word of God that is unchanging. You were made a new creation over in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is the truth. And until we begin to stand on the truth, we will not live in the truth. And some of us have to go back to the basics and say, God, will you reveal to me what happened to me when I was born of the Spirit of God? Because many of us were raised in religious homes, we were raised in Christian homes, we were raised in church, and so our conversion was not spectacular. You know, it wasn't like someone who'd been in drugs and everything else, and they got saved and their lives were turned upside down. But you just, you were a good child, you never went into rebellion and all the rest of it, and you got saved, and it's like nothing great, you know, there were no fireworks and no big explosion. And as a result of that, we tend to depreciate what happened in our new birth, and we're always looking for something else. See, imagine... Let's use the illustration of our marriage. Imagine if I got to a place where I said, man, our marriage is not good. I know what we have to do. We need to go back and get married all over again. That's ridiculous. And yet there are Christians who are looking for some fresh encounter to effect what has already taken place in you. No, what you need is the Spirit of God to lead you into the light, into the revealed light of what you are in Jesus Christ by God's grace through having been born as His child. You need a revelation of the supernatural miracle that took place in you when you were translated out of darkness into His marvelous light. Where you were brought out of the dominion of Satan and you were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, as Paul describes it in Colossians chapter 1. There was a dramatic shift of your life out of one realm into a new realm. You were brought out of the natural into the spiritual. You were brought out of living under the dominion of the flesh to living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You were brought out of being in Adam to being put in place into Christ. You were brought out of being the seed of your father, the devil, into coming into being the seed of God, with God's seed abiding in you. Let us never depreciate the new birth. It is the most incredible miracle that can happen to anyone in this world. Now, what's happened to us is this: we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us into the light of what we were translated into. And as a result, because we don't know the truth, we're hunting an experience. And God's just trying to bring us back and saying, I want to show you the light that you were birthed into. John says, that which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You know what he's saying? He's saying the essential word that Jesus came into this world to reveal to us, and we saw it, we handled it, was this, that God is light. Jesus was the illumination to us of the light of God. We looked on him, and what we saw was light. Now you see, listen to me, people. This is so different from religion. Because religion will tell... Listen, religion has got so distorted that it calls darkness light and light darkness. Now, don't look at me like that. As many of you know, you were raised in churches that taught you to speak in tongues was of the devil. Hello? How can good people be so confused as to declare that something that is a precious gift of God is from the devil? You know why? Because we didn't receive light. By revelation of the Spirit of God, we shone in our own light. We tried to understand the Word of God by our own ability, instead of recognizing that it is the Spirit of God alone that can lead us into the truth. And Jesus came to reveal light. And you know what? That light really offended the religious leaders of the day, because Jesus exposed their deadness. I've already preached in this church on the children's bread and the incredible tragedy of the fact that when that woman who was bent over double came into the synagogue on the Sabbath and Jesus healed her, you remember what the ruler of the synagogue said? He was as mad as can be that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. That's how dark religion can be. That when light comes in, religion judges light as being evil. So we can't go back to the reason. Light has to come by revelation of the Spirit. And here's the starting point. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, let me tell you this. If you're born of God, then guess what? You're light, and in you is no darkness at all. Oh, but Brother John, you just don't know me. No. I'm preaching to you the Word because you're born of God's seed. See? When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are filled with light. Now, what has happened to many of us? Why is it that there's darkness in our lives? Why aren't we not walking in the reality of that light? Ah, John goes on and he tells us. Look at the next verse. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I don't want to get too complicated in this message tonight. I want to be as simple as I possibly can be, because I want to help you. Because of where I come from and the complexity of the religious life that I lived into the simplicity of where I'm living today. And so I want to try and help you to understand the simplicity of what John is trying to say to us. Yeah. He characterizes my life in relationship to God who is light as a walk. In fact, you know what? It's very interesting that all three of these statements about who God is are companioned in the Word of God with three directives to us: to walk in the Spirit, walk in light, and walk in love. It's a walk, which means, number one, it's not a static thing that happens in a little holy huddle on a mountainside in a prayer room. If there is a deception that the enemy wants to get the church into, is to withdraw out of this world and get into a little prayer mountain and get alone with God and hope that we're going to get more holy there. I want you to understand something, that your life in light is characterized as a walk, which means it happens daily. As you go about your everyday life, you can walk in light. Oh, people, you see, because listen, many of you are feeling, I don't spend enough time in the Word. I don't spend enough time in prayer. I don't spend enough, and you're so busy with your daily life, and you're under such condemnation because you feel, I'll never be the Christian that I need to be because I just cannot devote sufficient time to the Word of God and to prayer. And really, hey, I want you to relax this evening, which is not to downplay the importance of those times of feeding your nourishing yourself in the Word of God and communing with God in a quiet place in prayer. But I want you to see the simplicity of walking in the light tonight. So that many of you who have stressful jobs and high pressure situations and you just feel like, man, I'd like to run away, you're going to start embracing the presence of God and the character of Christ in you in those situations, and you're going to discover how wonderful and easy it is to be Christ in a pressure-filled situation without having to go up on a mountain to get recharged. See, a lot of you feel like, if only I could escape the rat race. And I want you to know, Jesus is light in the rat race. And you can live there in the reality of His abiding presence in you. And you can shine as light in the darkness of whatever situation you're in, so that after you leave, people that you've been around know they've been touched by the presence of God. They can't define it, they can't explain it, but they feel like they've been refreshed. They feel like something has just passed by them that they can't define, but they've been touched by the glory of God. Some of them feel like, man, I went into your presence and I left feeling like I just had a bubble bath. Come on, people. You see, if we've got to go on a mountain and get this, then Jesus, you see, now Jesus did go outside with the Father, but He didn't spend all 3 years in His ministry in the prayer closet. Oh, boy. You know why? Because He knew that all He had to do was express what He was in His person. See, and we have made holiness something that you get in a secret place instead of understanding that holiness is something that you are. And wherever you go, you're expressing the holiness of God. And listen, here's the wonderful thing. The more you just let it flow out of you, the more it increases within you. There, God built this into all of His creation, and it's in all of the kingdom. The whole kingdom functions on the basis of seed. The more you give, the more you get. The more you sow, the bigger harvest you get. And that's not going to happen in a prayer closet. Excuse me, I don't want to be mean and nasty to you, but I'm telling you, it happens right in the midst of living. Jesus was light wherever He was. Now He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. This is the most wonderful thing. Because let's start with the last phrase. Your biggest concern as a Christian, most times it shouldn't be, but for most Christians, your biggest concern is keeping your life free of sin. And I'm telling you, that's a wrong focus. Your biggest concern and focus should be what I'm going to deal with tomorrow night, and that's walking in love and expressing the Father's love to a world out there. And He has already made provision for your holiness. And if you'll begin to be Jesus in the world that you're in, you'll discover something wonderful. God uses imperfect vessels despite the flaws and the imperfections. You know why He can do that? Because of the blood of Jesus. And so He says to us, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from all sin. He's saying to people who are anxious about sin, don't worry about it. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from all sin while you're in the midst of this whole thing. So He says, the sin question, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. Now He goes on to say, listen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. And say, look, if you say you have no sin, man, you're just in deception. But if you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so the sin thing is taken care of. Well then, what does walking in light mean? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'd like to answer it. I am so glad that God is not like a teacher in a class who hands out the textbook and says, There it is. Learn it all, and you're going to be examined on it tomorrow. Now, a lot of you are in that situation where you're living under a lot of guilt and condemnation because you don't know the Bible, you don't know all the truth in the Bible, and you feel guilty because you aren't walking in everything that you've ever heard preached. And you've heard preachers probably come into this church and tell you, now God's going to call you to give an account of every sermon that you've ever heard. Oh, my word, and you feel all condemned and guilty and so on. And I want you to hear this. Listen, God's not like that. Because He is in a relationship with you. And if He characterizes this life in light as a walk, then guess what? He's walking with you. Okay? Because there's relationship. We're walking. Now, what does it mean, therefore, to walk in the light? Simply this. If, starting, God is Spirit and I am Spirit, because of the new creation, I have a spirit that now is alive to God, and God has given me His Holy Spirit to be within me. What is the Holy Spirit's function within me according to what Jesus promised His disciples in John 14, 15, and 16? His essential ministry is this. He is the Spirit of truth. And this is what Jesus said. He's going to lead you into all truth. So guess what happens when you're walking in the Spirit? You wake up in the morning and you just begin to worship the Holy Spirit. And, all right, let me characterize it this way. You've got a pressure-filled day. You don't have much time. You had a late night last night. You wake up at 7 o'clock and you've got to hit the road running because you've got an appointment at 8 o'clock and the devil comes and says, you're going to have a crummy day today because you haven't spent time in your quiet time. And so you start off the day thinking, oh boy, this day is a lost day because I haven't had my quiet time. Come on, I know where some of you live. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? At 7 o'clock when you wake up, you just say, Holy Spirit, thank you that my life is not dependent upon the things that I do. It is not dependent upon spiritual exercises as much as wonderful as they are. But You are my life within. So Holy Spirit, I just yield to Your presence to just fill me right now. And as I step into the shower and the water falls over me, I'm just receiving a washing and a refreshing and a renewing of the Holy Ghost within me. And even as the water's going over me, I'm being clothed with Your power for this day. And Your life is just flowing into me. And as I go out of the shower, I'm going out with a refreshing of the Holy Ghost within me. And I'm just going to listen to Your voice. Now, what's going to happen during the day is you're going to get into situations where you're going to be confronted by darkness. It's all around you. There is a seduction in the darkness of the world out there. But you see, you're renewed in the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. So you know what's going to happen when you come into those situations? The Holy Spirit is going to shine light. And you're suddenly going to see, but if I did that, I'd be violating the very nature of my Father within me, because He's light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if I let darkness into me, I'm violating the nature of the Father within me. You know what? Oh, I love it. The Holy Spirit's going to war against that darkness. Oh, it's so wonderful. Galatians chapter 5, I didn't spend much time there this morning. But isn't it what? He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then he says this, for the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and these two are contrary one to the other. Now, listen to this. So that you cannot do the things that you want to do. We've always interpreted that in a negative thing, that, the flesh is so strong that it overpowers the Spirit so that you can't do the good things that you want to do. No, what he's saying, exactly the opposite. You see, because if you look at what James says, the enemy knows something. I am a physical human being. How many of you are physical human beings? Okay. And as a physical human being, you have natural physical appetites. To be hungry and to want to eat a good steak is not a sin. To be a sexual being and to desire to have sexual fulfillment is not sin. I'm just talking very plainly to you because these are the areas where the devil keeps hammering you into the ground because you don't understand the nature of light. And so you easily get under condemnation for all of these things. No, you are a physical being with natural physical desires. Now, the essence of sin is this, that Satan comes to you and he tempts you to gratify a legitimate physical desire in an illegitimate way. That's sin. God gave you your physical desires. He made you a physical being. To be hungry and to want to have a nice meal is not wrong. See, this is just... But now what the enemy wants to do is he wants to come and entice you through your physical desires. And remember when the word used, Bible uses the word lusts, lust is not a negative evil word in and of itself. The word in the Greek epithumia simply is a strong desire. Hello? Do you know that Jesus lusted? Oh, yeah, it says, when it came to the Lord's Supper, he said, with great lust have I lusted to eat this meal with you. Uses the same word, epithumia. Oh, he had different lusts. See, they were strong desires, but they were directed toward the will of the Father. And I want you to get free, because here's what's happening to us. Many of you, listen, some of you men have had a problem with unclean thinking, impure thoughts, and the devil has told you, you're a miserable specimen of a Christian, and you'll never amount to anything, and God will never use you, because look at you, you've got lust. I want to tell you something, please, and don't stone me for this. But I want you to understand, James says that to have a thought in your mind is not a sin. Do you know that lust has to conceive to bring forth sin? And a lot of people who have lust, the enemy immediately condemns you over your lust. But your lust is not wrong in and of itself. It's when you let it conceive that it brings forth sin. And because we don't understand the dynamics of that, the moment we have a wrong thought, look at me. No. You see, walking in the light is this, that the moment that darkness tries to come in, the Holy Spirit is going to immediately shine light on it. Now, if I don't understand this, I'm going to feel condemned at that point, and I'm going to, now watch this. I want to show you something from the Word that is so wonderful. Do you know that the Bible nowhere says that the Holy Spirit will convict you as a believer of sin? The Bible says he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. But you know what he says 3 verses later? The Spirit, he'll lead you into truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't change you by convicting you and making you feel condemned and terrible. That's the work of the devil. The Holy Spirit's task is to lead you, which means he takes you by the hand and leads you into truth. He leads you into truth. He leads you.
I'm such a submissive wife.
See, if you're walking in the Spirit, you know what his responsibility is? To lead you into truth. But because we don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we think he's there like a big watchdog with a big stick to zap me over the head. We're waiting for his conviction. And because we're expecting conviction, we get it. But it's not from the Holy Ghost, it's from the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He leads you into truth. Oh, boy, this is good. This is so good. Because when I'm confronted with darkness and I see the darkness, instead of getting into condemnation, immediately the truth rises up within me and I say, I'm light. I'm not darkness. I don't get into darkness. Darkness is foreign to my nature. I am a child of light. And so I'm going to walk in light. I'm not going to give in to that darkness. I want you to hear this, child of God. You are not responsible for all the light that is in the Word of God. You're only responsible for the light that the Holy Spirit is giving you in any moment of your walk. When you put your next step down, if the Holy Spirit shows you any light, you're only responsible for that light. It's a walk. He leads you into truth. Some of you need to get set free tonight from the condemnation and the guilt that you're living under. It doesn't come from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the devil to keep you miserable and to keep you from expressing and being who you're called to be. I want you to understand, you are holy. You know why? He declared you to be righteous. But now the Holy Spirit is leading you into the expression of who you are. And the Bible calls it the fruit of light. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Are you going to like this? I'm going to show you what religion has done in the Word of God. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Yeehaw! God is light and I am light in the Lord. You understand? Your new nature is light. Oh man, that's good. Because a lot of you have believed that, oh boy, there's so much dark. Oh, will I ever get holy? Will I ever get to, now listen, the Bible says you are light in the Lord. Now he says, walk as children of light. In 1 John he says, walk in the light. Now he's saying, walk as children of light. What does that mean? As though I have been begotten by light. When you're a child of something, what have you got? You've got that thing's nature. The nature that you have within you is light. Listen, are any of you hunters? Some of you do. All right. Now, if you're training a bird dog, for example, there is bred into those dogs a characteristic. For example, a retriever is bred to swim to where the duck is and grab it and bring it back and lay it at your feet. It's inbred. A pointer is bred to go up to a covey of quail, and when it sniffs it out, immediately it gets into a pointing stance, which is it stands with its tail up in the air and it's pointing that there's a covey of quail. And then a good bird dog will wait until the master gets there and the master will release, and all of a sudden it goes and the quail fly up and pow, you can shoot the quail. I'm terrible. I've had a friend of mine take me hunting and I can't shoot a thing. it's wonderful to go out walking. Now, it's incredible to watch a bird dog work. And when we went one time, he had a new, my friend Dudley Hall, who's written a book, wonderful book on grace, so on. And he was training a new dog, Maisie. And Maisie was, you know, ran all over the felt, disturbed every covey of quail, and I mean was good for nothing. But you see, you've got to take a dog into the realm, into the place where that instinct is suddenly going to arise within. And one day, Maisie, in the midst of just having a wild time running everywhere in the area, all of a sudden, Maisie comes upon a covey of quail and something happens. What is bred into that dog, the instinct within that dog, suddenly arises. And so many of you still think that you are just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not. You're a child of light. You have the nature of God within you. You have an instinct to do what is right. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost who has been given to us to lead us into that place that when I get into a situation where I'm confronted with light and darkness, all of a sudden something comes up within me that rejects darkness and embraces light. Why? Because it's my nature to embrace light. Now, obviously some of you are going to need to repent tonight because you've so violated the Holy Spirit when He's been trying to prompt you about darkness and you've gone into darkness, and so tonight you've got an opportunity to repent of darkness and bring that darkness to the light and expose it and let the blood of Jesus cleanse it. But I'm trying to help you, child of God, that you are holy. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now He says this. Look at this verse. Verse 9. Oh, I love it. For the fruit. Now, how many of you in your Bibles have got of the Spirit? How many of you in your Bibles have got the fruit of light? And here's what's happened. In the newer translations, they follow the better manuscripts. The better and earlier manuscripts have the fruit of light. But some scribe says, that doesn't sound right. You know, surely it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is like Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is. No. The earliest manuscripts say the fruit of light. Okay, if I am a child of light, now get ready. This is what light is going to be expressed as. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now watch this. Goodness is my relationship to those around me. If I'm full of light, you know what it's going to be? I'm not going to be a cantankerous, critical, bear with a sore head kind of person. I'm going to be so full of goodness that people are going to like hanging around me. Just something like Jesus. Why was Jesus called the friend of sinners? Hey, sinners like to be around him. Why? Because he didn't have that attitude of the religious crowd of the day that was like, boy, I don't want to be around you because you could affect my holiness. No, you understand, if you're light, the fruit of light is not in judgmentalism. Well, I'm so full of light that I can't stand being around any sin, and my task is to expose sin, you know, kind of thing, and so I'm going to... No, you just need to get healed of your emotional wounds within you if you like that. But the true fruit of light is goodness toward those around you. You're just good. You just like doing good. You can't help it. It's in your nature to do good to people. I mean, you don't even think twice. You bless car guards with money that makes their mouths hang open. You don't think of, has he done a good job? You bless waitresses, not on the basis of their service, but on the basis of the fact that you have within you light, and light has fruit that is goodness, and you just do good and you can't help doing good. Come on, people. We're wanting to win the world to Jesus, but they're looking at us and they're saying, man, I don't want to be like you. Why? Because we're violating the light that is within us, and we've got practices, and we've got behavior that is totally, that stinketh. It's pharisaical. It's not Christ-like. See, holiness is light. And what is light? The fruit of light is goodness. I just can't help. I'm just good. I just love to do good to everybody around, just like Jesus. Isn't that what Peter gave when Peter was summing up his testimony of Jesus? In Acts chapter 10, he said this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. There it is. There's holiness. He went about doing good. So guess what? When you yield to the Holy Spirit in the shower in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, I want to walk in life. You know what he's probably going to tell you to do? He's not going to tell you about some sin thing. He's going to tell you about showing some kindness to somebody in who you work with who's a bear to be around, and they're a pain in the neck, and you can't tolerate them and you can't stand them. And the Holy Ghost is going to say, on your way to work, just will you stop and just buy a box of chocolates and just bless them and watch their mouth fall wide open, because they don't deserve anything from you. They've been so mean to you, but you're full of goodness. Come on, people. This is fun holiness. This is reality holiness. This is not ivory tower. This is where people need to see Jesus. Okay, the fruit of light is in goodness and then righteousness. Well, I got good news for you. Righteousness is my relationship toward God. And since He has already declared me to be righteous, you know what? I can't make myself more righteous and more acceptable before Him. But you know what's going to happen? The fruit of light is going to be, and it's not the fruit of me and my performance, it's the fruit of light in me. The fruit of light is going to be that my life will more and more conform to what God has declared me to be, without sweat. It's the fruit of light. And then the third thing, truth. Oh boy, what does that mean? That's my relationship with me. Inner honesty and integrity. I'm telling you, listen, please, child of God, hear me. There is never a day when we've needed to have Christians having inner truth more than today. Because we're living in a society where truth is relevant, where honesty is not a high virtue that is esteemed. And you know what? We're children of light. And you know what? Not to be truthful and honest and be to walk in integrity is to violate your nature. And I'm telling you, God wants to make me genuine through and through. Absolutely genuine. That what I am in front of people is what I am in the privacy of my own bedroom. That what I am. Oh, I love the hymn that was birthed in a revival that happened in Swaziland many years ago, that is in many old hymnals. Awake, O Lord, as in the time of yore. It was penned in Swaziland by a SAGM at that time missionary in the midst of a revival. And there's a verse in there that says this: make us to be what we profess to be. Let prayer be prayer and praise be heartfelt praise. From unreality, oh, set us free. And let our words be echoed by our ways. The fruit of light is truth, inner honesty and integrity. Listen to me. Why does James say, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed? I want you to hear this, and I'm speaking to young people as well. If Tracy, our daughter, was here, she's got a marvelous message that she preaches on walking in the light. But here's what, you know, what the Lord showed Tracy. If there's anything in your life that you're trying to conceal, you're stepping into darkness. Young people, if there's something that you're about to go into that you're going to hide from your parents, don't go there. You're stepping into darkness. And you say, oh, but it's not, you know, but my parents just wouldn't understand. Don't go there. You're setting yourself up for a fall because the enemy lurks in the darkness. Stay in the light. And if your kids, your friends say, well, we can do this, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, we just won't tell your parents because they wouldn't. Hey, don't go there. You're violating inner honesty. The fruit of light is in truth. Husbands, don't go there. When the enemy says, well, you can conceal it from your wife, just don't tell her, you know. Don't go there. I'm telling you, you're setting up a dark area where the enemy can get you. Many years ago, a pastor's wife called Bev one night and said, I won't go into all the details, and said, man, I've just discovered my husband is having an affair. And he was a man who was used of God in the midst of revival and so on. And it was a sad thing. And so I got on the plane straight away and flew down to go and minister to them. And as I ministered to them, I discovered something. Before they were married, there was a lie that both of them went into. They were unsaved at the time, but they both lied to each other, and it was never exposed after they became Christians. And when this man got into a situation of enticement and entrapment by the enemy used that lie to catch him. Because Satan says, well, your wife has had premarital experience and you haven't. You owe it to yourself. Now listen, that man was such a man of God that in a moment of walking in light, he would never have given into that. But you see, there was a darkness that was concealed from his wife. I'm telling you, it is time for us to get dadgum honest with each other. You need to have relationships of accountability where you can be absolutely honest and expose things to the light. And when any darkness is trying to attach itself to you, you need to have, if you're a man, you need to have a Christian brother that you can go to and say, I want to be accountable to you. And I'm going to share with you when there's a darkness that is coming upon me, because I don't want, once the thing is brought to the light, it loses its power over your mind. And so James says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or has much power in its effect. See? And that's not because he wants us to all hang out our dirty washing. He's not, you know, you understand, this is, we're not going to come together in church and everybody confess their sins. No, it's having those kind of relationships where if it's my wife and there's an area of darkness, I need to have the freedom to be able to say to Bev, Bev, you need to pray for me, as an area of darkness, and we need to walk together. And if you don't have that kind of a marriage, it's time for you to get that kind of a marriage. It's time for you to start being honest with one another. Because listen, God gave you your husband and your wife to be your greatest help and encouragement in your spiritual life. And you need brothers and sisters. And that's why there are cell groups in this church. So that you can have, in a smaller group, an accountability factor. So that you can open yourself up. Because we are light. And anything that you try and hide from another is darkness. And you're setting yourself up for a fall. You've got to walk in the light. I'm encouraging you, Christian young people, walk in light. Otherwise, you're violating the nature. And that's all that holiness is walking in the light. And letting light bear its fruit in you. The fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What does that mean? Do you spend your life going around the world to expose darkness? No. He's saying don't get into fellowship with any unfruitful works of darkness, but rather bring it to the light immediately. Expose it. Expose it. When something is snapping at your heels, then you need to be able to expose it immediately before the Lord, and if necessary, before a brother or a sister who can pray for you in that moment so that you may be healed. Why do we need healing at that point? You know why? Because Satan only tempts you at the point of your vulnerability, where he knows there's a weakness because of emotional wounding or something. The temptation would only be an enticement to you if there was a vulnerability. And so when you expose something and bring it to the light, you have the potential to heal the thing that Satan knew he could go for, which was an area of weakness and vulnerability in you. And that's why he says, confess your faults and pray for one another that you may be healed. Where? At the point of vulnerability. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad God put you in a body so that you've got brothers and sisters that you can go to? And how many of you know, listen to me, some of you, please hear this, can bear testimony to the fact that you've fallen in the past. And you know you can go back and you can look and see that that failure happened because of isolation from brothers and sisters who could have spoken into your life at that point. Isn't that so? And you become vulnerable. Divide and conquer is the enemy's tactic. Now he says, look at this. For it is shameful. Now I want to show you this. Something is really important. Even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. What's he saying? He says, Christians, there are some things which you should never even talk about in conversation. Oh, did you see what was in the paper this morning? Isn't it terrible? And you go and scandal. Hey, you know what's happening? Seeds of darkness are planted in you because you're telling a story about something bad. Don't repeat what somebody else did in darkness. It violates your nature even to speak it. Don't do it! Don't tell the latest scandal. You're violating the light within you. Watch your lips. Your lips should only speak light. It is shameful for you as a child of light to speak those things which are done by the world in secret. Don't ever tell the stories. You're violating something in you when you use these lips to repeat what was done by them in darkness. Shut up! Excuse me being strong about it, but it's important because you see we're sharing with one another. What a terrible thing. You know, she had an affair with so-and-so and just... Shut up. Don't do it. Your lips should not speak. According to what Paul says previously in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only such as is good for edifying, that it might impart grace to the hearers. Telling the stories of what has been done in don't talk about darkness. Talk about light. Your nature is light, so talk about light. Talk about what God is doing. Talk about the good things that God is doing. That's why we need testimonies, to hear of the good things that God is doing, so that we can get on the telephone and instead of telling the scandal that you read in the paper this morning, you can tell them, oh, I want to tell you the testimony that I just heard from so-and-so. Oh, isn't God good? This is what God is doing. Now you're speaking according to the nature that is within you. Your nature is light. Speak according to the light. That's walking in the light. Now here's what happens when you're walking in the light. Your fellowship with one another. There's nothing to conceal. There's nothing to bury. Nothing to cover. You can have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. You see, I love this about God. God is all light. Now, if God is light, and I've still got areas that aren't really yet conformed to His holiness, how can He have fellowship with me? The blood of Jesus. Brother John, but what about all the areas that aren't yet like Christ in me? The blood of Jesus. Oh, but I wish I was different in this area. The blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing from all sin. When God is ready to deal with that thing in your life, the Holy Spirit will lead you over there. Until He does, forget about it. Brother John, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, because if you try and modify it on your own, you could change your behavior, but you can't change your heart. Only the Holy Ghost can change your heart. Now, let me tell you one of the most important lessons that you've got to hear in this thing. If I am walking in the light, I have to allow my brother the freedom to walk in the light as well, and it might not be the same light that I'm walking in. Don't force your light onto another brother, because he is in fellowship with God and God's taking him at his pace. Now, here's where we've erred. That's why we've got the situation where people have stopped doing things because of the peer pressure of the church that they were in. And so they stopped drinking because of the pressure of the church. Listen, if God doesn't take the desire out of your heart, you behaving, modifying your behavior and given the opportunity, you're going back to the dog vomit that you came from. Do you understand that? That's how the Bible puts it. See? And so I've got to allow you the freedom. And we've done this to newborn Christians. And the Holy Ghost is working in their lives, and you can see the fruit of God, of the Spirit in their lives. And man, they're rocking along. But there are areas where they're just totally blind to areas perhaps of sin in their lives. And you know what we want to do? We want to go over and say, oh brother, you need to stop doing that. You need to cut your hair. You need to do such and such. Oh, this is what we've done in the past. Hey, give the Holy Ghost a break. He's the Spirit of truth, you're not. He'll lead them into truth, not you. We are commissioned to love one another and receive one another as God has received them. And that means you love them unconditionally, even though you don't like some of the things they might be doing. Boy, is this important for parents to hear. Because we parents think that our responsibility is to modify our children's behavior, and all you're doing is making them hypocrites. Because they're going to modify their behavior to please you, but their hearts are not changed. Let the Holy Ghost do His work in your children. Trust Him. Yeah, but I don't like some of the things they're doing. Well, bless God. Do you think the Holy Ghost is big enough to change them in His time? In His way? And when He does, He changes their heart and not just changes their external behavior. See, we've got to allow one another freedom. I've got to let my wife be led by the Spirit and not try and be the Holy Ghost to her. And that's hard sometimes when you can see everything that's wrong. In 1985, God did some very profound healing, emotional healing in me, in the realm of rejection. And it was a wonderful healing, and God began to work it out in our family, in our marriage and everything. And Beverly was so thrilled with it. And Bev would, I remember us lying in bed one night, and Bev said, "Man, I'm so glad that I don't have wounds like that in me, because I was raised in a different family." And I said, "You've got to be kidding. You got rejection all over you," but it manifested, but the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say a single word. Leave it to me." And it took 18 months of me just praying for her. And then He showed her in His time and in His way. And I didn't have to say a word. We've got to give one another space. Because if He loves me and He's going to lead me into truth, He's also going to love... He loves my wife, and He's going to lead her into truth. And that's where the fellowship of believers comes in, where we love one another unconditionally, even although we don't do things and see things the same way. That's the wonderful thing about having pastors together in a church, you know, and different gifts, different callings and so on. And we want to make everybody conform to one another. But no, we love one another unconditionally and allow the Holy Ghost to do the work of leading us into truth, leading us into truth, walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Now, let me help you for tomorrow morning. When you wake up, yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I just receive you today. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the path that you have chosen for me. So would you lead me? You know what he's going to lead you into? Light and truth. And who knows what he's going to deal with tomorrow? I don't. But you know what? Even if I'm not perfect, it doesn't affect my fellowship with the Father. Isn't that wonderful? But now, if when the Holy Spirit shows me light, I don't respond to him, that's going to have effect on my relationship, isn't it? See, and until I deal with that area. And so here's the wonderful thing. The Father is so gracious and so loving, and he is so patient with his children that he's going to deal with us. And listen, he doesn't mind camping with you at a spot for a few years. You know, he'd like to move on. But, you know, isn't it wonderful that God doesn't forsake you until you get yourself sorted out? He loves you through it all. And even when you might be balking at a thing that he's light, that the Holy Spirit is taking you into, he doesn't just abandon you and desert you. He keeps on loving you unconditionally. You know why? Nobody has ever changed in an atmosphere of rejection. Nobody has ever changed in an atmosphere of rejection. Some of you husbands need to understand that. Some of you wives need to understand that all of your handpicking will never bring true change to your husband. He might modify his behavior just to get you off his back, but you won't change his heart. So back off. Husbands, stop trying to change your wife. You can't do it. Rejection will not bring about true spiritual change. The only thing that can bring about true change is when you love unconditionally. And so tomorrow night, I want to talk about walking in love because God is love. Oh, and I can't wait for that. Because I tell you what, oh, he's so loving. He's so full of love. Man, he's wonderful to be around. And the Pharisees hated it. They didn't like the love that just oozed out of Jesus. John even had a problem with it because John wanted Jesus to come and baptize the whole world in fire. He wanted him to take out his winnowing fork and to take the chaff and put it into the fire and go wild and judge everything and so on. And Jesus comes in and starts healing everybody and showing love. And John gets so offended, he sends a message to Jesus and says, "Are you the coming one or should I look for somebody else?" Why? John had a preconceived idea of how Jesus should function, and Jesus didn't come and do what John thought he should do and clear out all the bad guys out of Jerusalem and sort out the whole political system and stop everything that was wrong. I mean, John had such a message of repentance, and he preached it and he thundered at them. He says, "You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee?" I mean, he's going, and then Jesus comes in and he's full of grace and truth. And that's what John saw. But John the Baptist couldn't stand grace and truth. He wanted fire. So he looked at Jesus and he got offended. Jesus had to send a message to him. And he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." See, Jesus reflects the Father, and God is love. You know what true holiness is? Walking in the Spirit, walking in light, and walking in love. There's holiness right there. It's not going to the movies and not going to dancing and not smoking and not doing this and not doing the other stuff. That is a bunch of junk. when you measure a person's holiness based on those things. That's where I was raised. And it doesn't work because it doesn't change your heart. The only thing that's going to change your heart is when who you are by the new birth begins to be manifest through the work of the Spirit within. And here's what Paul says happens. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? It's His goodness, it's His light, and it's His love. When we behold the glory of the Lord, we're being changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, You're so wonderful. We just want to tell You tonight, we really like You. You're so wonderful in the way You deal with us. Thank You that You don't beat us over the head and condemn us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You don't just grind us into the ground with a sense of unworthiness and undoneness. Holy Spirit, we're so sorry that when the enemy has come and heaped condemnation and judgment on us, we've blamed it on You. We've told people that You're convicting us, and how it must grieve You when we characterize You with the works of the enemy. In the Bible, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take us and He'd lead us into all truth. He's called the Comforter. He's not the Condemner. He's the Comforter. Holy Spirit, we want to embrace Your true ministry, not the characterization of Your ministry that religion has given to us. We want to just walk in the Spirit. We want to have communion with You. As Paul prayed in that benediction, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Holy Spirit, You're so wonderful that we can have just this wonderful communion with You. And we receive You, Holy Spirit, tonight. We're just so glad that the Father sent You as the representative of Jesus. Jesus, we're so glad that You sent the Holy Spirit. He's just like You. He's just like You. He's just like You. A bruised reed He will not break. A smoking flax He will not quench. It's not the nature of the Holy Spirit to break somebody who's already bent, to pour water on something that is about to go out. That's the work of the enemy, but so often we've thought the enemy has done stuff in our life and then he's told us God's doing that to us. God, forgive us. Because we haven't known Your nature, we've believed the accuser of the brethren about You. And tonight we just want to come into line with Your Word. We want to declare that we are what You declare us to be. We are children of light. We're not darkness. There's nothing about us that is darkness. We are light in the Lord. We've been translated out of darkness into Your glorious light, as Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to thank You, Lord, that our nature is to be light, to walk in light, to express light. And that fruit of light we saw in the Word tonight is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so, Holy Spirit, we just embrace You tonight, and we ask You to forgive us for trying to do Your own work in us, in our spouses, and in our children, and in our Christian brothers and sisters. We've been so busy trying to fix everybody around us and fix ourselves, instead of just having fellowship with You and letting You transform us and change us. And God, when we pursue a righteousness, all we end up with is self-righteousness. But when we pursue the Spirit and pursue You, we end up with true holiness and true righteousness. And God, tonight, we want to be delivered from a pursuit of that which is already a settled issue with You. And we want to be a pursuer of You. We want to press into You. We want to go after You. I'm asking you, dear Lord, tonight to create a hunger in our hearts for a communion with the Holy Spirit such as we've not experienced before. Many of us have had such powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit. Many of us have had seasons where we've been so sensitive and alive to the Spirit that we could hear the very breath of God. We felt those slightest nudges. But Lord, somehow we've lapsed into living by our reason and our mind, and we've got to a place where we thought we knew so much truth and we thought we could do it on our own. But I'm asking you to, in this place, in Hatfield Gemeente here in Vanderbijl Park, to put upon your people here a passion to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to commune with the Spirit, to just live in the fullness of the life of the Spirit, expressing the light of God's nature, which will be manifest in all goodness. Oh God, we want the world to be one to you, but the word, Paul says, it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. God, fill us with your goodness until we're so kind and so good, and we're so full of hope that the people around us ask us the reason for the hope and the goodness that is within us, and we're able to tell them. Now, Lord, I pray for those who've got religious ideas about holiness, and they have felt so condemned because they feel so unholy. They have measured themselves by other people and their standards, and because they can't pray 3 hours a day and read the Bible for 2 hours a day, and because they don't lead someone to Jesus every day of their lives, and because they don't do this, that, and the other, they live under an intense feeling of condemnation. God, will you just lift the burden off them? Will you just lift the load that some of your people are carrying because they've got a false picture of holiness? And Lord, bring us back to the simplicity of life in the Spirit and walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, and walking in love. Lord, I just sense you're wanting to undo some complexity in some of your children. The Christian life has become so difficult because we've read so many books with different emphases, and we feel like we just can't measure up to everybody's standard of how to live and how to pray and how to do warfare and how to love and how to be a soul winner and how to be a pastor and how to be a husband and how to be a wife and how to be this and how to be the other thing. And God, help us to just be who we have been created to be, children of light, sons of God. Simplify our lives tonight by a radical, dramatic work of the Holy Spirit within us. Deliver us from the complexity of trying to live up to another person's light, and bring us back into the simplicity of walking in the light that the Holy Spirit reveals to us every day. The Lord just gave me this strange word, and I'm going to share it, but there's some of you that you're reading books right now that are leaving you feeling just like, oh my word, I'm not even a Christian. Lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. You're missing the Spirit. You're receiving man's light, not the light of God. You can't walk in another man's light. If that's what the Holy Spirit told them to do, then they're accountable to God. But you don't have to walk in their light. Because if you take their word and try and walk in their light, listen, they can't give you the power to walk in that light. You can only get the power to walk in the light that the Holy Spirit gives you. He'll give you power for that light, but not to walk in another man's light. So some of you need to lay aside, there's some specific people. You'll know who you are because the books you've been reading have made you feel, you know, the more you've read, the more hopeless you feel. And it's like, oh my word, you're so discouraged because you feel, will I ever get there? And the Lord's just saying, back off, child. Come and rest in my arms. I'll take you into truth. Just relax. Relax. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." So Lord, just lift the load. 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 I just sense that tonight, you know, we're going to have a ministry time. I just feel this strongly from the Lord. Some of you just need to get a load taken off of you. You've been trying to perform and measure up to this thing and that thing, and you feel so condemned, you feel so guilty. And listen, if I had to preach tonight on prayer, every one of you would feel like you don't pray enough. The easiest way to get people condemned is prayer. And prayer should be the most wonderful thing in your life. And so God wants to just lift the burden of man's light about prayer. Some of you need to stop reading books about prayer and come to Jesus like His disciples and say, "Lord, teach me to pray," and let Him teach you. Let Him teach you. So Lord, would You do the ministry? Now I want to invite you, if you just need to release a burden tonight, Bev and I are going to minister. We're going to lay hands and just release the anointing tonight. And just let the Lord minister rest to you.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.